It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Good morning, America. How are you this Easter Monday? This is J. Christian Adams, grateful for subbing for Sandy today and spending a bit of the morning with you across America. And I hope if you're in the South, you're okay this morning. Some big storms rolled through the country. I'm president of the Public Interest Legal Foundation. I frequently sub for Sandy and so grateful to be here with you and spending time talking about what's going on in this country. And I know a lot of you are paying attention because these are tough times. These are very different times. It's not what we bargained for, is it? It's not exactly what we were expecting, but it's what we've got. And so we just carry on. And, you know, how was your Easter different this year? Did you do things differently? Did you miss your family? Miss church services? Or maybe you found something new, a new blessing this year that was different than previous Easters. Give me a call at 888-589-8840 to discuss. Tell the country what you found new, what you found special this Easter, and maybe what you also missed. We're going to be talking a lot about the coronavirus. There's some good news out there. I'll get to that. And there's some bad news out there. For example, some people in Washington, D.C., are doing what they always do and take advantage of crisis to advance an agenda. Some people in Washington, D.C. are taking advantage of a pandemic to change the way we elect our leaders, to change the way we pick the president. Isn't that convenient in a presidential election year that instead of focusing on defeating the virus, they focus on fundamental transformation, undoing what the founders did in this country to create a just unparalleled success story in the United States? We want to get rid of it and replace it this year. I'll get to that in the second segment of the show. Again, J. Christian Adams subbing for Sandy Rios. I'm extremely grateful that you're joining me this morning. You know, Washington, D.C. here, we had big storms roll through overnight in the South. In Mississippi, we had 5 deaths. The front passed through with some serious violence. And I hope and pray that all your neighbors are good this morning. On this Easter Monday, in a totally different America than any of us thought we were going to see, the year 2020 is going to be burned in your memories. 2020 is going to stand for isolation, despair, disease, but also for hope, because there's some news this morning. This is on the front page of the Washington Times. Top U.S. health officials voiced cautious optimism Sunday that the worst of the COVID-19 pandemic may soon be over, providing a fresh dose of hope as President Trump prepares to launch a task force this week on reopening the economy. Because it's true. It's true. This country cannot continue as a place of prosperous, energetic activity economically when everybody stays home for 3 or 4 months. That will lead to a depression. That will lead to more misery than the alternatives. And that's what our president has to balance. And I am certainly glad that I am not the president that has to decide that. Because you can tell from his press conferences that he does pretty much every day that the weight of the world is on top of him in a way that I don't think many people could take. The weight of the world is on top of him, but that doesn't stop the media in those press conferences from acting like a pack of jackals and grandstanding. Have you watched these things? Seriously. I mean, it's great entertainment in a way, because on one side of the room, you have somebody with this enormous responsibility. And on the other side of the room, you have reporters interested in scoring points, interested in looking snarky, interested in tearing down. Now, I recognize the role of the free press. Okay, I get that. Here we are. I'm sitting in front of a microphone saying things that a lot of people in this country would like me not to say. There's a lot of people in this country who want conservatives, religious, patriots to just shut up about. Quit talking about your guns. Quit talking about the founders. Quit talking about your church. Just shut up, please. We don't like that in our new bold world. Those are inconvenient histories to a lot of people in this country. So I get the value of the free press, but when you watch President Trump deal with these people, and I'll give you a great example. There was a reporter from China. Oh, I'm sorry. She wasn't from China. She worked for a Chinese communist propaganda outlet called Phoenix TV. 100% Chi-Com agitprop. Did you see that one last week? She was in the back row, I think. And President Trump said, well, which outlet are you with, right? Can you imagine? I mean, I don't... Thank goodness, because the people have a right to know. Back in the good old days, 20 years ago, during a Bush press conference, when that wouldn't happen, by the way, when President wouldn't say, who are you with, and expose them, because that's just who he was. Everybody was sat there and thought, oh, what a nice question from that lady. Or, she must have authority. Remember, the presumed authority of being in the White House briefing room. People think you have credibility because you're sitting there. But guess what? You don't if you're from Phoenix TV, which is a Chinese communist news outlet. And those are always the tough questions. Or how about the reporter from PBS criticizing the Surgeon General, who, if you haven't watched Surgeon General Adams, no relation to this Christian Adams, Surgeon General Adams is an African-American. And this reporter from PBS goes after him because he's using terms that are speaking to the African-American community. What he calls his grandfather, what Surgeon General Adams calls his grandfather, is found offensive to the reporter from PBS. That's the world we live in now. That's what happens when you live in the real world and you have crazies in the room. We're taking your calls. How is your Easter different this year? It's 1-888-589-8840. I'm Jay Christian Adams, subbing for Sandy Rios. Some more interesting news. Good news about coronavirus. The United States recorded 20,000, that's not good news, 20,000 deaths as of Sunday morning. But listen to this. While the five European countries with the same population as the United States tallied 63,054. Let's look at that scoreboard again. Same size countries. The big five European, Germany, Italy, England, France, Spain. Same population as the United States, 324 million to 330 million, right? What's that scoreboard? Europe, 63,054 dead. United States, 20,614. Three times the death rate in Europe. In the United States, there are 65 coronavirus deaths per million people. In Spain and Italy, it's 330 per million. France, 220 per million. And the United Kingdom, 145 deaths per million people. And what was the United States again? 65. 65. A third of the death rate as Europe. However, what happens next? Those of you following along know American politics. Joe Biden. And here's what Joe Biden had to say over the weekend. As we prepare to reopen America, we have to remember what this crisis has taught us. The Trump administration's failure to plan, to prepare, to honestly assess and communicate the threat to the nation led to catastrophic results. That's Joe Biden. Let's go back to that scoreboard. Here we are. 63,054 dead in Europe, 20,614 in the United States. Now, nobody should die. Don't get me wrong. And I'm not minimizing human life here. But when politicians want to grandstand, and when reporters from Phoenix TV, a Chinese communist agitprop station, want a grandstand, we need to keep facts on the front burner. We need to remember that some very good things are happening. Some very, very smart people are leading the charge to find treatments and find vaccines. So how was your Easter different this year? Did you do anything differently? I sure hope you did. I sure hope you did. Go to Anthony. Anthony's in Mississippi. I hope you were okay down there, Anthony, after last night. What was your Easter different? How was it different?
My Easter was different because I woke up on Saturday night in the middle of the night in tears because I wanted to go to church in the morning. And so I did. I went ahead and went to church and went in and gave my tithe. Said good morning. I couldn't stay because they were doing a live broadcast, but then I went in the parking lot and watched the live broadcast on my phone, and so it was different, but I praise God.
Well, great, and I'm glad you're safe. I'm glad you're safe, Anthony. Have you guys seen the video? I mean, seriously, take a few minutes today and get the video of Andrea Bocelli. It is astonishing, and it's moments of transcendence like this where you see the globe and humanity in a different light. Andrea Bocelli is in front of the magnificent cathedral in Milan, Italy. The magnificent cathedral in Milan, Italy, singing Amazing Grace. It's on YouTube, not hard to find. And one of the greatest voices in the world, in one of the most beautiful cathedrals ever built, is singing Amazing Grace. In the YouTube video, interspaces scenes of ice desolation on the streets of Paris and all over the world. I don't know, do we have that audio? Just a little clip of that? He's... Good morning. Happy Easter Monday. I'm J. Christian Adams. I'm in for Sandy Rios. That's Andrea Bocelli in front of the Cathedral in Milan in Italy. It's worth a look. Go find it on YouTube today. It's a great treat to celebrate an Easter Monday by listening to one of the greatest voices in the world singing one of the most beautiful hymns. We're going to be talking about how your Easter was different this year. You can call in at 1-888-589-8840. And how is it that we're going to fundamentally transform how we elect a president this year simply because of the coronavirus? We'll be getting to that in the next segment. But they want to do it. They want to change it. They don't like what the founders decided. Coming up next on J. Christian Adams on American Family Radio.
"30 days to slow the spread of the coronavirus. Here's what you can do. Listen to and follow the directions of your state and local authorities. If you feel sick, stay at home and contact your medical provider. Do not go to work. Also, if your children are sick, don't send them to school. Keep them at home and contact your medical provider. And if anyone in the home has tested positive for the coronavirus, the entire household should stay at home. Do not go to school and do not go to work and contact your medical provider. If you're an older person, stay at home and away from others. And if you have a serious underlying health condition that may put you at risk, for example, a condition that impairs your lung or heart function or weakens your immune system, stay at home and away from other people. Do your part to slow the spread of the coronavirus. For more information, please visit coronavirus.gov. That's coronavirus.gov.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for President Donald Trump. As president of our country, he's responsible for the health and welfare of our nation, including the fight against the COVID-19 virus. 1 Peter 2, verse 17, reminds us to honor our leaders. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for guidance for President Trump as he leads our country during these challenging times. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. I need you to do something right now, folks. Text #250 with the keyword baby. We are in a crisis point in American history, and there is growing concern that the nation's abortion rate is about to explode. So I need your help right now to save the life of an unborn child. And that's why I'm partnering with Preborn, an organization equipping pregnancy centers with ultrasound machines. 80% of women who have an ultrasound save their child. So get on your phone right now. Text #250 with the keyword baby. Text #250 with the keyword baby. There is something very wrong with the data we've been getting from Dr. Anthony Fauci and his team of experts. First, they told us more than 2 million Americans would die from the coronavirus. Then they revised that number to just under 250,000. Now it's at 60,000. That's a massive course correction in just under 20 days. It's important we have accurate data because life and death decisions are being made on their advice and counsel. The entire nation's been shut down. 16 million people now jobless, businesses ruined based on that data. Minnesota State Senator Scott Jensen is a medical doctor, and he too is troubled by the numbers, tells me he received orders from the state health department to classify every cause of death as COVID-19, even if the patient was never tested for the disease. Now, why would they issue such an order? Dr. Jensen believes the answer is very simple. It's easier to control people when they're terrified. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Good morning, America, on this Easter Monday. My name is J. Christian Adams. I'm subbing for Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio. Great to be here with you this morning. And depending on what part of the country you're in, it's a crazy weather day. If you're in the southeast of the United States, powerful fronts moving through. Hope you made it through okay last night. So we're talking about the coronavirus. We're asking, how was your Easter different this year? Going to take your calls this hour, 1-888-589-8840. Did you miss something? Did you find something new? And we can't lose sight about the origins of this virus. You know, the Democrats and the left particularly want to blame President Trump because they blame President Trump for everything, right? The storms that went through Mississippi last night are President Trump's fault, right? The weather. Oh, I'm not kidding. The weather is President Trump's fault. You can find people who think that, even ones who are not in mental hospitals. They really believe it. So, as they're trying to blame the president of the United States. Last segment, we talked about how many fewer people died in the United States compared to the big five countries in Europe with the same population. Oh, it was about a third. A third of the people in the United States have died. I'm sorry, less than in Europe. 20-some thousand to 60-some thousand. Same population. But let's not lose sight of where this virus came from. And we don't know the full story about that yet, but I suspect we eventually will. And that should terrify the Chinese communists. Because one way or another, whether it's somebody eating a snake, whether it's somebody being stupid inside the Wuhan weapons lab, the Chinese are responsible for this. And not only did they start it, but they lied about it. You know, you hear a lot of Democrats, including the quote I read from Joe Biden, blaming President Trump for not doing certain stuff. Well, let's talk about what the Chinese did. They lied. They lied outright. And Dr. Fauci said that yesterday. Early on, we did not get correct information. And the incorrect information was promulgated right from the beginning. It's propaganda. Communist propaganda. Like we're so used to through the 70s and 80s, those of you old enough to remember that, in the 60s, I'll throw that in too. The communists were always lying. It's what they do. They're communists. Truth doesn't matter to them. And that's why people like Pope John Paul were so dangerous to their existence, because he said truth is everything. And they lived in a world of lies, and we're watching it again, because the Chinese, in case you didn't know this, for the first 2 months of the outbreak, were telling everybody, including the World Health Organization, who are otherwise known as their puppets, puppets on a string, the Beijing string, they were telling everybody that human-to-human transmission is not possible. It was a lie. And so everybody stood around twiddling their thumbs because human-to-human transmission wasn't possible. It was a lie. And how many deaths are responsible for that lie? The lie of the Chinese communists. Because that's what communists do. They lie. They lied about this virus. They are still lying about its origins. All these Chinese scientists who worked in Wuhan have vanished. Some have died. Others have just plain vanished. Like the Wicked Witch of the West. All you see is a hat laying on the ground and smoke. Because they don't want anybody talking to them. But lest you think that this is somehow something that humans have not been experiencing since the dawn of time, I found a quote by C.S. Lewis that's worth mentioning. C.S. Lewis, the great writer, he wrote, "Life has never been normal. Even periods where we think that it's tranquil, like the 19th century, that's what C.S. Lewis thought was tranquility. Remember, this was probably written in 1942. Even things like the 19th century turn out on closer inspection to be full of cries, alarms, difficulties, and emergencies. Human culture has always lived on the edge of a precipice. Human culture's always had to exist under the shadow of something infinitely more important than itself." That's C.S. Lewis, reminding us that since the dawn of time, we faced days like we face today. I learned over the weekend about a pandemic, another pandemic, not the one we're living under now, but a pandemic that started in about the year 249. It was a smallpox pandemic called the Pandemic of Cyprian. Now, Cyprian was a bishop of Carthage. He's one of the fathers of the church. And at the time, Rome was in its ascendancy. Roads were bringing people all through the Roman Empire. There was travel, commerce of the sort you never saw before. Kind of sound familiar? Sound like 2019? The economy is roaring. And then there was a huge smallpox epidemic. And guess who got the blame at first? Anyone? Anyone? It's Christians. The Christians were blamed. The Johnny Appleseeds of smallpox. The Christians were blamed through the Roman Empire for bringing the epidemic. But here's what happened next. It was the Christians, particularly Cyprian and others, who were willing to stay behind in these cities where in Rome 5,000 people were dying a day. And they stayed behind to take care of the sick. And everybody started noticing, oh my gosh, look at these works of mercy. There must be something about these people. They don't fear it. And so what came out of that smallpox epidemic in 249, it actually lasted a couple years, was a recognition that these folks are of a different breed, that there's something about them that lets them brave the terrors of smallpox and treat the sick and save lives. And that was the lasting legacy of Cyprian. Eventually, of course, became a martyr. I don't think it had to do with the smallpox. But that's what happens. That's what can happen now. So, I asked the question earlier, how did you celebrate Easter differently this year? Did you do something different? Did you miss something? Sonia, you're in Alabama. How was your Easter different this year? You're on with Christian Adams on American Family Radio.
Yes, sir. I am so excited to share with you, since 1956, yesterday was the most outstanding, memorable Easter I have and will ever have, singing with the family of six of one of my children and grandchildren, and hearing their harmony and their our rejoicing together. And the great preaching, the music by live broadcast, it was just extremely moving. And I thank God, and I thank the media. I'm sorry for the situation we're in, but God has a reason. And what I also rejoice in is that out of the 75-plus members of my extended family in six states and Germany, we do not know anybody who has virus. And that is, you know, magnificent. The grief I have, if I might share that, is that every single week this country is responsible or allows 24,000 baby Americans to be annihilated. And as you know, how that happens. So we need to pray for that epidemic, that pandemic. And thank you so much. I appreciate you and Sandy and all you guys in American Family Radio. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks, Sonia. You have a great Easter Monday. And I think there's stories like that all over the country, that people had a very different kind of Easter. Yeah, they missed certain things, but they also probably found certain things. And Sonia, thank you for your call about that. Deborah is in Florida. Deborah, how are you this morning?
Oh, doing wonderful. It was a blessed, blessed day. It was our international day. We actually started off in our neighborhood with a group of Filipinos and other ethnic groups, Syrian Christians. My husband's a Lutheran Missouri Senate pastor, so they were talking first to do Amazing Grace, and I recommended listening to Elvis with the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra that was recorded in 2016 in England. It's absolutely, but we couldn't do that, so they did the Amazing Grace.
Wait.
My husband.
Elvis recorded this in 2016, so he really is still alive.
Actually, he went to number one in 2015. Priscilla really knew how to market him, and it went to number one, and his selling has done now Madonna. And so during the summer, they went to different vineyards, the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, to do the Elvis CD. I mean, it's absolutely, and then
great.
They did the next one. So it's really, I listen to it all the time. It's great.
So how was your Easter different this year?
Well, this for normally my husband has services, which was canceled because, like everyone else. So, like I said, in the neighborhood, they got together. They did Amazing Grace, and he gave a three-minute prayer. And then from there, we went to visit our Vietnamese family and had a prayer with them. And then after that, the highlight was when you were talking about Rochelle doing the Amazing Grace, we were actually visiting a nun and her mother. She's from Italy. She's a Dominican nun who took a leave of absence to take care of her mother going through this period of dementia, and giving her the blessing. Here, my husband's a Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, giving a Dominican Catholic nun a blessing after watching the Milan incident with them, singing there. It was great.
Well, very nice, Deborah. Good to hear from you this morning. And I think we're hearing stories like that all over the country, that there was something very different about this weekend. You know, what are you going to do? This is, you play the hand you've been dealt. And I don't think anybody was expecting this in their lifetime where, and it sounds like Deborah in Florida, I don't know, Deborah, we might want to check out those social distancing guidelines. I'm not sure traveling around from person. Maybe if you're in the driveway, you know, see, that's one of the things we've been having, are driveway conversations, right? You can't sit around in the living room having a glass of wine, so you stand in the driveway. You stand in the driveway and chat. Now, look, how is your Easter different? You can call in at 1-888-589-8840. I'm J. Christian Adams in for Sandy Rios on American Family Radio. Some folks will never let a crisis go to waste, right? This is just the new way, of course, to attack President Trump. You know, convening a panel to look into what he did. Adam Schiff, Representative Adam Schiff on the Intelligence Committee, won't convene any panels about the Chinese communist doing bat experiments with bat viruses. Don't look for that to happen. But by golly, they'll investigate President Trump. Other Democrats, and sadly some Republicans, not elected Republicans, thank heavens, and certainly not the president, but have talked about fundamentally changing the way we elect the president. And what they want to do is move to a vote-by-mail system. You heard that correctly. Vote by mail. Now, that might sound convenient, but I can tell you, as somebody who has litigated court cases when I was at the Justice Department in the federal court in Jackson, Mississippi, involving a county called Noxubee County, mail ballots are about the worst thing you can have. They are ripe with fraud, but I've got some data here from the Public Interest Legal Foundation that I'm the president of. Headline, 16.4 million mail ballots went missing in the 2016 and 2018 elections. 16.4 million. These are ballots that were undeliverable, rejected, went to unknown addresses, vacant lots. Astounding numbers. Los Angeles County, California, had 1.3 million. Maricopa County, Arizona, that's Phoenix, 407,000. King County, Washington, 352,000 ballots didn't get delivered, ended up somewhere in mystery land voted by elves. That's what mail balloting is. I know in Mississippi, mail balloting results in notaries voting the ballot for people. In other words, they take away the vote of the elderly and the downtrodden. How do I know this? I proved it in federal court in a case called United States versus Ike Brown. And when I was at the Justice Department, mail balloting is not the way you want to go. But yet, the Democrats and some largely never Trumper Republicans in Washington who work at think tanks think it's a great idea. We're taking your calls. My name is J. Christian Adams. I'm in for Sandy Rios. We'd love to hear about your Easter. We'd love to hear what you think about all-mail balloting. The number is 1-888-589-8840. You're on Sandy Rios in the Morning.
And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Acts 17:26 conveys to us the reality that we were born and placed in the 21st century by God's specific design. He determined before time where we would live and when we would live there. If you're in Minnesota, Mississippi, or Maine, God put you there on purpose. He's not surprised by the darkness we see around us, nor is he caught off guard by it. In fact, he specifically prepared for it by making sure you're alive right now. God can do whatever he wants, but he's chosen to use you and me as ambassadors of his kingdom. We are his torches to light up the darkness.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
The thing that's interesting about the 70 weeks of Daniel, which is the prophecy, is that 69/70 of it has already been fulfilled. That almost makes this not a prophetic study, but a historical study, doesn't it?
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, The Handwriting on the Wall, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Have you ever wondered why Eastern religions became so popular in the United States? Do those beliefs bring any more meaning to your life? This week on Let My People Think, Ravi Zacharias examines Eastern religions to discover the differences between them and Christianity and how you can respond to those differences.
Sundays at 7 p.m. Central.
I believe we have been vastly overreacting to coronavirus, reacting out of panic and fear rather than reason and science. It'll take decades to recover what we've destroyed. Scientists are saying the same thing. Dr. David Katz of the Yale University Prevention Research Center says in the New York Times, "I'm deeply concerned that the social, economic, and public health consequences of this near-total meltdown of normal life, schools and businesses closed, gatherings banned, will be long-lasting and calamitous, possibly graver than the direct toll of the virus itself. The stock market will bounce back in time, but many businesses never will. The unemployment, impoverishment, and despair likely to result will be public health scourges of the first order. There's a smart way to send people back to work. We need to start doing it today."
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Foreign service officers often exhibit symptoms of clientitis, pathologically promoting the interests of some foreign government rather than their own. Susan Thornton is a case in point. As a diplomat, she tirelessly flacked for the Chinese Communist Party. When that behavior finally got her fired from a senior State Department job in 2018, Thornton continued in that role outside of government, most recently penning an op-ed entitled, quote, "Fears of a global Chinese takeover are greatly exaggerated," unquote. In fact, China's dictator for life, Xi Jinping, has made no secret of his ambitions to dominate the world. His party's behavior regarding the Chinese pandemic attests to its determination to weaken the United States and other nations. And his military buildup and colonial empire building are creating the capability to exploit such weakness. Shame on those like Susan Thornton who would have us believe otherwise and know better. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Good Easter morning. Sunday is not Monday. How are y'all doing out there? This is Jay Christian Adams. I'm in for Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio. We're talking about how your Easter Sunday was different this Easter Monday. We're talking about what you missed, what you gained, what was new, what was sad. You can call in at 1-888-589-8840. We're also talking about how the Democrats want to fundamentally transform how the president is elected starting this year by having vote by mail, by having everybody vote by mail. Yet, that's right, the same people who regularly deliver you your neighbor's mail, the United States Postal Service, is going to be responsible for running the election. I'm not kidding. That's the solution to a lot of people, and it's a disaster. Thankfully, Mitch McConnell in Kentucky and Senator Shelby in Alabama opposed it and stopped it in its tracks in the U.S. Senate. And Senator Shelby and Senator McConnell deserve a great deal of thanks for that. But what was different about your Easter? What did you miss? What was new? We're taking your calls at 1-888-589-8840. I'm J. Christian Adams. Good morning, Shirley in Tennessee. Why don't you tell America what was different? How are you doing?
Wonderful. Our Resurrection Day was wonderful. My little family and I went out and flash mobbed people in the city, and we sang heroes, heroes, heroes up from the dead, and we read them a Bible verse about how Jesus rose and prayed a prayer and didn't have to get right up on them either. We stood off. We obeyed. But we still did it in markets, in the stores. We went to the areas where people were standing out, neighbors, next door neighbors' homes, had our Easter and, as we say, Resurrection Day ceremony, and then we spread ourselves out on the lawn and had us our church service, had a wonderful time, and my heart aches, too, for everybody in the pandemic of abortion that's dying. And I personally know nobody with COVID, and I am so thankful for that. I think the numbers are false that they're giving, and I'm hearing too many reports, and we don't see many people at the hospital either. So we think that there's a lot of falsities going around, but I praise the Lord. We had our Easter / Resurrection Day anyway.
Well, very good. And I how did the people react to that?
They loved it. They said, thank you so much, because many of them believed that they could not actually have services. But actually, we found out that they actually could have had services. It just has to be in their cars spaced apart. For most of the cities that I know about. So,
well, don't set foot in Virginia, because Governor Northam will make sure that you're arrested if you gather in groups of 11 or more for church services. Matter of fact, I can't even go to the Richmond State House with 11 people and protest Governor Northam's plans to shut down schools the rest of the year. That's just how it is. So how did you celebrate Easter differently this year? We're going to go to Tom in Rhode Island. Tom, what was different for you this year?
Well, hey, thank you for taking my call. And this is one of my favorite programs. And I mentioned to your call screener that I'm here with my wife in Rhode Island listening to you on our app. So it was our Easter was pretty normal, actually, because we're here we have an apartment with our children and grandkids, and the ones we couldn't be with, we got to see on FaceTime on our iPhone. So that was kind of unique, but it was a blessed day, and we watched the Passion film in the evening, and had an overall blessed day, pretty much sending text messages and emails to friends that we couldn't be with.
Right, right. And, well, I'll tell you, it's probably not something you bargained for, but it's something that everybody had to find their own little way. My name is J. Christian Adams. I'm in for Sandy Rios. We're talking with you about how Easter was different. What did you miss? I mean, surely it was not normal. I mean, the images of empty cathedrals and churches all around the world was astonishing. It's just all around the world. It's not just your neighborhood church. It's everywhere. And that really is a sobering reality. Kim, you're in Virginia. Good morning, Kim. You're on J. Christian Adams on American Family Radio.
The Lord bless you this morning.
Well, thank you, Kim. How was your Easter different?
My Easter was very sad in a way, because I couldn't be with my husband and I are alone, no children, no grandchildren. And so it was very sad because we couldn't be around people. Of course, in Virginia, you can get arrested for going to church. I got up very early in the morning, and we have a small hill outside our yard that faces east, and it was still dark, and I dressed up in my coat and everything, took my cell phone with me, looked up the scripture, had a hymn in my mind and went out and had a very private time as I watched the sunrise. I sang. I read the scriptures softly out loud because I live very close to my neighbors, and so I didn't want to wake anyone. But I, you know, raised hands and sang the hymn, Holy, 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 because I knew the words. And it was still appropriate, and it was just a beautiful, beautiful time. I wept, but I was still very sad all the rest of the day because I really missed my church family and praising with them, although we had online services. And then our pastor had asked us to all dress up and take photos in our Easter outfits and post them on the church's website, so Facebook page, I'm sorry. And so we did that too, and that was a lot of fun to dress up and post it with the other families.
It doesn't sound like
that's what it was like.
It sounds like an Easter you're not going to forget.
Ever. Ever.
Well, like I said,
I'll never forget living in Virginia either at this point.
Right. Hey, how about this, Kim? In a couple of weeks when things are looking really good and Ralph Northam, Governor Ralph Northam, remember Blackface, Governor Blackface? How about you and I and about nine of us, nine more people, we get together to make 11, and you and I will go down to the State House to protest the continuing enforcement of the emergency powers. How's that sound? And we'll be 6 feet apart.
I don't know if my husband would let me, but I would be willing.
Oh, okay. Well, look, bring your husband along if he makes 11. So, look, that's the problem going on in a lot of the country, and it's worse in some states where these emergency orders are limiting the right to petition the government, the rights of assembly, the rights of free exercise of religion, the rights of free speech. All of these fundamental bedrock rights are being infringed. Now, that's not to say the government doesn't have the authority and power to do it. As I tell people, one of the things I learned in law school is the orchard cases. Whenever an orchard is poisoned by blight, the government, the king, always has the power to go in and cut your trees down and burn them. They have the right to contain and quarantine. That is an ancient power that the king had and the governor still possess. Not the president, by the way. Here's your little constitution. I can't sub for Sandy without a constitutional law moment. The president did not inherit the powers of the king. The states inherited the powers of the King of England, these ancient common law powers over game, over fish, over public lands. That was the power of the states. So the states have the power to quarantine. That is undisputed in history. The question is how long is the exercise of that power reasonable? How long is it reasonable? And for now, I will confess, it's probably reasonable. 3 or 4 weeks from now, not so sure. Maybe Sandy will have me back on the show, and we can talk more about that. My name is J. Christian Adams. We're taking your calls about how you celebrated Easter differently. What did you miss? What did you gain? Anita, you're in Tennessee. How was your Easter?
Well, it was very different. You're right. We, my family and I got up early and we baked biscuits. I know you think that's silly, but that's what
friends of ours
that they weren't going to get out. So we baked them and then we put them in a basket and covered them up and took them real early, and they had, we called them and told them we were coming, and they were just so happy. And she greeted us, the mother did, greeted us at the door and said that they made the happiest because they weren't going to get to see their grandchildren.
Yeah,
I mean, they weren't going to get to see them early. But
right, small works of mercy this week for Easter. Keith, you're in, I'm sorry, Alan in North Carolina. You've been waiting a long time, Alan. How about you?
Are you talking to me, Alan, in North Carolina?
Go ahead, Alan. You're on live.
Right, okay. Really, there's so many things. I'm retired Army, but so many things that you had mentioned And during the station break, Brian Fisher was talking about getting back to work. And that's one thing that I wish that the president would do. I'd like to see that happen Wednesday or Thursday. And, you know, make hydroxychloroquine just common, and anybody who is diagnosed with coronavirus, that they should be administered to that.
Well, that's one option, and some people are talking about it. I might be premature, and I know that it'll face a backlash. But in the meantime, we're talking about how did you celebrate Easter. Keith, you're in Texas. How about you, Keith in Texas?
Yes, well, we had a wonderful Resurrection Day, and early in the morning for like the last 15 years or so, we've had a sunrise service at our church. I have a Down syndrome boy, and he was really grieving that we couldn't go there for that. But there were so many encouraging things throughout the day. One of the highlights was I remember hearing President Trump tell about what he was going to be doing. I don't know if you heard that. He was going to be listening to a message from Pastor Jeffress in Dallas, Texas. And so I heard that message along with the president. He was listening on his laptop, and boy, it was a strong gospel message. I just praise the Lord for that. And it just seems like the gospel through the internet and the messages that have now been going out across the internet, people that normally wouldn't go to church might be listening to the gospel there. So just a few other quick things. Somebody passed along this poem that I heard. It's sort of like How the Grinch Stole Christmas, but this was How the Virus Stole Easter. So everybody should look that up. It's very encouraging.
Right, How the Virus Stole Easter. That's nice to hear. I'll definitely do that. Everybody's celebrating differently, I think. We heard a lot of stories today. Joshua, you're in Texas. Tell us what was different about your Easter.
Hey, yeah, and that was really cool to hear Keith from Texas listening with the president. That is very cool. So our church, Life Source from Lindale, Texas, offered communion cups for people to come by. They left it underneath the awning at the church entrance. And so we're streaming from home via Facebook Live, and we just had a I don't know, it was just odd not to be in the congregation of the church and celebrating. That's been something I've done my whole life. So it was different that way, but we just, in lieu of everything, tried to make the best of it. And I think we did. You know, we still hunted Easter eggs, hid eggs for the kids, and the older ones snatched up the ones, all that they could from the younger ones, and, you know, like they normally do. So not a lot was different other than actually being presently at church. And so we still kind of continued on that way and gave reverence to the whole reason why we celebrate.
Well, thanks a lot, Joshua. Thank you for calling. My name is J. Christian Adams. It has been a real treat to spend this Easter Monday morning with you. Subbing for Sandy Rios in the morning, I'm especially grateful for Sandy for taking the time to ask me to do this. It's always a pleasure to be with you, whether I'm a guest of Sandy's or I'm a guest host of Sandy's. So very, very happy Easter to everybody. Thank you very much for listening onto American Family Radio. Till next time, I'm J. Christian Adams.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.